Don't move unless God moves. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, that was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Kellogg. You're listening to Key Life, practical Bible principles for daily living. Now, here with Bible in hand is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you were as blessed by your pastor's sermon as I was. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Numbers. We're continuing with our study of a survey of the Old Testament. As I've mentioned before, there's no way that we're going to do the entire Old Testament verse by verse, line by line, precept by precept, because neither you nor myself will be alive long enough to do it that way. However, what I'm doing is taking each book of the Older Testament, spending some time introducing that book to you, and then looking at some major themes and expounding on some of the major texts within the book. It is my hope that as a result of this Old Testament survey, you will have some handles that will help you in understanding the Older Testament. And then secondarily, we're doing this because, as you know, I'm a teacher of grace. What I do is tell you that God isn't angry at you, and if you're a part of God's covenant people because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness, he's not angry at you. But too often Christians don't read the Older Testament because they have this mistaken idea that the God of the Old Testament is some kind of horrible, wrathful child abuser, but he gets nice when you get into the New Testament. And I'm taking some time to show you some areas of God's love and grace that are so clearly taught in the Older Testament. Well, if you have a Bible, and if you're in a place where you can open it to the book of Numbers. It's our practice on Mondays to go before the throne before we study the book, so let's do that. Father, we come to you at the beginning of this week, glad that we belong to you. We remember where you found us, and sometimes we think about home. It's hard, though, in the between times. Sometimes, Father, we're lonely, sometimes afraid, sometimes we think we can't deal with these temptations anymore, and then sometimes we fail. And so, Father, you are the God who called us, the God who rules the kingdom of heaven, but you're the God of the in-between times, too, and we're thankful for that. Father, remind us of your presence in our tears and in our laughter, in our work and in our play, in our worship, and in the places where we go. Father, keep us close to you and give us the gift of obedience in every area of our lives. Remind us that obedience isn't just to make us miserable, but just the opposite. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast right now, and you know the problems that they're facing. There's a man who's listening who needs a drink, and he's been sober only a week, and it's really hard. Father, be close to him. There's a couple, and they're thinking about divorce. They're not thinking much about their kids. Father, be close to them and draw them not only to yourself, but to each other. Father, there's a woman who's a single mom, and it's really, really hard. She doesn't know how to pay the bills, she doesn't know what to do about her kids, and she doesn't know where to turn. Father, come alongside and give her your guidance and your wisdom and give her your peace. And Father, there's somebody listening right now who doesn't know you, but they want to. They're searching. Father, come alongside there also and draw them to yourself. And then, Father, as we study your word, we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were listening last week, we started the book of Numbers, and I spent a significant period of time introducing that book to you. I'm not going to take the time to do that again, but you will be tested on the material. If you're looking for some general themes in the book of Numbers, you can find things like disobedience leads down a dirty road. You can find that in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. You got to remember, this is where the people of God are in the wilderness. And then in Numbers 11, 31 through 35, when you go down a very difficult road and you put yourself on that road yourself, God is even faithful there. And then thirdly, if you're looking for some major themes you can find from the book of Numbers. People usually learn very slowly. There's seven murmurings in the book of Numbers. And then fourthly, in the wilderness, you learn whom to follow. That's the 21st chapter. In the wilderness is preparation for greatness, 33:50 through 53. Now, what I'm doing, and we started this last week, is that I'm just taking some time looking at some verses, meandering through this particular book of the Old Testament to point out some of the sights as we go along. We looked at, and I'm going to say a little bit more about today, Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." You know, whenever I hear that benediction from the book of Numbers, I think about my days growing up as a Methodist. When I was a boy, I was in MYF, Methodist Youth Fellowship, and that is the benediction that's repeated over and over again. And every time I hear that benediction, I think of God's faithfulness in my youth when I didn't know him, of his love and his caring, the way he arranged circumstances. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his spirit upon you. The Lord give you peace. Now, if you were listening last week, we talked about the power of words. We saw that mothers still say to kids, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me." And that's a lie, folks. It's just not true. If you've got your choice between sticks and stones and words, you ought to choose the sticks and stones, because they heal. And words sometimes never heal. But aside from that, in the Bible, words, when they're backed up by the power of the God of the universe, have tremendous power to bless and tremendous power to curse. There are benedictions, and whenever your pastor at the end of the service raises his hand, and your pastor says, "The Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you," he's pronouncing good words with the essence of God behind them, that God would bless you. Treat him or her well, because next Sunday they might decide to pronounce a malediction with the same power of God behind that also. You know, there were lots of things that I liked about the Jesus movement when it was going on. The freshness of the insight, the recovery of the power of the gospel, the radical changes in a lot of people's lives, and our nation is still feeling that. But one of the nicest things about that, and people do it today, but they didn't before these guys, is that they would never leave another person without saying, "God bless you." And when they said it, they meant it. And I believe that God did bless because of the essence of God's sovereignty behind the words that were pronounced. All right, flip on over to Numbers 9, 15 through 29. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning, so it was continually. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord they encamped. As long as the cloud was over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord, and they did not set off. Let me tell you something. I am not big on setting goals. I was speaking for a leadership foundation movement here in Orlando, where I live, a couple of years ago. And they asked me to speak about goals, and I came in late in the morning, and I said, the first thing I want to say is I have no goals, and I don't believe you ought to have goals, too. I looked at the people who had gathered, and they kind of winced. And I went on with my teaching for the next hour or two, and then I found out that Gordon McDonald had been there all morning teaching them how to set goals. And I'm not going to suggest that you should not set goals. I think there's something to be said for the comment that if you don't have a goal, you'll never reach it. And so we just wander around in circles. But I'm not big on goals. I believe that sometimes through circumstances, God takes a flexible believer and leads down roads that believer would never have expected in a million years. My wife Anna used to say to me, I don't care where we go as long as I'm with you. I want you to know that God's ways are circuitous. And let me tell you something. Whatever you think God is doing in your life right now, He probably isn't. He's just teaching you that He's there and that you should follow Him. Don't move until He moves. Don't set up your life goals and say, this is what God has blessed, because He may not have blessed it. God's ways are quite circuitous. And very rarely are we sure exactly what God is doing in our lives. I love this passage from the book of Numbers, because they were still when God was still. When He said, move, they moved. And they didn't ask, where are we going? And what am I going to be doing 5 years from now? And what's the retirement plan like? And how much money am I going to be making? And is there hospitalization? They were simply faithful to the place where God was leading. And so the principle is, say, Lord, I'm your man, I'm your woman, and I'm here. You go where you want to go, and I'll be right behind. You think about that, I'm in. Listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd like for you to be a part of it. Let me explain how it works. Once you give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, you can do it 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you email us at steve@keylife.org and ask to be a part of our Key Life tape family, then every few weeks you'll start receiving a tape automatically, a tape of my teaching, generally at the chapel at Reformed Theological Seminary, or at a conference where I'm teaching, and we can study the Bible together wherever you have a cassette recorder. Incidentally, these are not tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. This is a family, and you remain a part of the family as long as you want to. And they're absolutely free, and I really mean that. That does not mean, however, that I will turn down any contribution. In fact, this is a very, very expensive ministry because we send out so much free stuff. If you help us, you can help your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can charge a contribution to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation. Hey, I gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.